Welcome back, everybody. My name's Evan.
And I'm Andrew. I mean, Laura H.
And me and Andrew / Laura H. are so glad that you've joined us back on the BCC pod. This is where we take what's happening in our church and what we're learning together and bring it into unscripted conversations that dive a little bit deeper. Whether you're tuning in on your drive, at the gym, or you're just relaxing at home, we're so glad that you're here. This week, like she's already mentioned, we're joined by our support and recovery director, Laura Humphreys, for her second time on the pod?
Second time.
Repeat guest. Let's go. Welcome back. This past weekend, you spoke on resiliency. You kind of finished up our resiliency series and talked about resiliency through rest and Sabbath. So how did it feel preaching? Is this your second time, third time?
This is my second time actually preaching, and then add in 2 CR Sundays over my 6 years here at Bethany.
Oh, nice.
But it's an enjoyable experience. Everybody is very supportive, and it's nice to feel loved on the stage. So it was a great morning.
Yeah, I think you did a great job too. If you could kind of like summarize what the main thing was that you were trying to get across, what you wanted people to leave with, what do you think that'd be?
Sure. So I believe that the Sabbath is basically our blueprint for rest. Mm. And we're called as Christians to take this rest, even though we live in this world that is so fast paced and puts so much emphasis on the hustle and the bustle and the doing more. And we really feel that we are who we are based on our productivity. Hmm. And Jesus doesn't tell us to do that at all. He gives us this rhythm of work, rest, repeat, work, rest, repeat. And we often are just work, 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 repeat.
Yeah. And if you do that too many times, it's just work, 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 burnout.
Absolutely.
Out for a while, then repeat.
Absolutely. And then you're forced to rest and your mental health is already struggling. So I think that was probably the biggest takeaway is how do we, in this culture and in this world that pressures us to do more and be busier, do we actually take time to turn our gadgets off, to connect with God, to spend time in rest? And what does rest look like for us? Because as I explained on Sunday, rest for me is maybe watching one of my kids perform athletically or playing softball with my husband or hiking in the woods. But maybe for somebody else, it's quiet meditative prayer or yoga or, you know, being by the ocean.
Yeah, I think it's so interesting how, as we've been recording this podcast, there are a couple themes that kind of keep coming up. And one of the themes that keeps coming up is just like hustle culture and how pervasive that is in so many different aspects of our lives and in so many aspects of what we've been talking about on Sundays. And I think it's interesting too, like there's been a bit of a trend in culture of the whole like quote unquote self-care trend has kind of exploded over the past couple of years. And this kind of like, I think post-COVID, a lot of people shifting towards like, oh, what does rest look like in my life?
Yeah.
But that it's funny how I think sometimes what the kind of rest that we're given by culture is actually just busyness at a slower pace.
Sure.
Almost like it's like that what we're actually told to do when it's like, oh, like take self-care, it's like buy these things that will help you, or like it still has this underpinning of
you still have to go to the store and buy the face mask and the lip oil and
it's like and add 20 minutes to your schedule every
$60
day.
Water tumbler.
And how I appreciated how you talk about this kind of like tying it back to Sabbath and talking about this idea of true rest and like not just like what are the things that I'm being told should fill me up and should give me kind of restoration, but what is actually going to fill my bucket, right?
Yeah.
And what's actually going to what's actually going to give me rest and restoration. As you were kind of chatting with people in the foyer and chatting with some of the congregation after the service, is there anything that kind of came out of that? Any kind of good feedback or good conversations that you got into?
Yeah, I actually had talk about like community and love. I had two people offer us rest as a couple.
Incredible.
I had, you know, one of our young adults actually come up and offer to take my two girls back to her place one night for like a movie night. Mm. And she says, oh, my roommate and I can have a movie night. We can have a girls' night with them. So you can have rest or you can have a date night with your husband. And I was just like, what a beautiful, like, opportunity and gift that is, and like how loved and like something tangible, not just saying like, hey, sounds like your life's really busy.
You need to take some
time. You
rest.
Should take some time, right? And I'm like, oh, great. Okay, like
hope
when?
Hope you figure that out.
Yeah, right. When would that be? We have five things on today. So that was really neat. I chatted with a gentleman afterwards that he had been unhoused for years. We talked a bit about CR and just that he had been brought in the doors on Bethany that morning just because he felt like he should be at a church. And he heard my message and just like my own PTSD journey, and he could really relate to that. And so he actually still works with the unhoused and kind of has been sober for a few years. And so he said that he was going to bring that message back of what rest looks like when you're unhoused back into his community. So that was really awesome.
That's and so just, cool.
Yeah. And lots of younger moms talking about like sleepless nights and still trying to find that rest when you are exhausted beyond exhaustion and just like what that looks like, and just trying to even like steal a few moments and have some quiet or whatever brings them rest.
Yeah. How do you think, these are all questions that I didn't actually send to you. Just making
none of this
go
is in my notes, by the way.
You're doing great. How do you think rest and the concept of rest has changed for you over time? Like, I think about how you've not only seen a lot of change career-wise in your life that would change that landscape, or as your kids have gotten older and picked up a million sports that require them to be at pools very early in the morning, or like all of those sorts of things, and how like how do you think rest has the concept of rest in your own life has changed over the years, or are there things that you feel like you've learned how to do better over that time?
Yeah, I think I associate rest and gratitude very similarly, because whatever brings me gratitude is probably going to bring me rest as well and rejuvenation. So not just rest, but like the resiliency to keep going. And so now that we are a very busy family, I try to find like little glimmers of what rest and restoration is for me. I shared on Sunday that walking to school with my girls is now a luxury that I don't take for granted. I wasn't able to do that with my previous employer. I worked very long hours. I was on call a lot, and I saw like a lot of hurt in the world and people not getting better. And so now transferring and working at Bethany, I see hope in people every day, and that's a beautiful gift. And also just back to being able to walk my girls and have that time, and you know, taking the dog for a walk were things that I'm not sure I actually knew that I needed.
Yeah, I think that's so cool, because it is, there are a lot of things that are just embedded in our day that like that gratitude and awareness piece, I think, ends up changing them or moving them into a category of rest, right? That like, and I guess conversely, that there's that the things that do give you rest can also be draining if you don't approach them in the right way.
Yeah.
Right? Like there's a way to get your kids to school that's like, I just need to get through this and get them there.
And it's not every day. Like not every day is roses, and not every day are we holding hands skipping to school. Right. Like there are some mornings where I am pulling my hair out and we are driving because you know, somebody took a little too longer in the bathroom because they didn't realize they needed to have a shower. And, you know, I have an almost 12-year-old, like she dominates the bathroom in the morning. And so, you know, like there is sometimes angry mom that comes out in those moments. And that is not rest, my friends.
Yeah, that is not rest. And that is not gratitude.
That is not gratitude. And that is not rest. And those are not kind words that are coming out of her 12-year-old mouth.
But it is true, because I think sometimes we have a tendency, even as I mentioned before, with culture kind of pushing self-care as a way to sell more things or whatever, that like true rest can be really mystifying for a lot of people, or it can think like it has to be this big thing that I need a whole night or whatever, right? But that you
I have
can
to drive
actually
to yoga, and I have to have the right water bottle and the right headband, and I have to have the right name brand tights on, or I'm not going to get the maximum rest out of this, you know, opportunity, where yoga is rest for some people. it's not always when you have kids that are active or you're a young parent or like, that's not always reasonable. Right now in my life, I don't have that time to give, right? So I have to find, okay, so like, where do I find this? Like, where can I open my Bible? When can I pray openly to God? Like, it might now happen at a sporting event or sitting in my car or walking, you know, back home from school when I'm alone.
Yeah. And I think too, like the, some of the expectations around those things, like if you're approaching a yoga night as rest and you're like, I have to have this and I have to have this and it all has to line up so that I can get some rest. Like if the rest that you're trying to build into your life is bringing you anxiety about not getting it, it's probably not the right thing. You know what I mean? Like that. But yeah, I think that's, there's something so simple in that and so true about like, there are things in your day that if you can take time to just center and recognize and like be present, they can be really life-giving along the way. Before we move on, we want to let you know about something that's happening this Sunday. And if you have plans after church this Sunday, cancel them because you're invited to our barbecue and connection fair happening right here at Bethany in the Pavilion. We're firing up the grill, serving up some delicious food, and giving you the chance to explore all the impactful ways that you can get involved at Bethany. Whether you're new and you're looking to connect, or you've been around for a while and want to try something new, there's a place here for you. You can come and meet ministry leaders, ask questions, and discover opportunities that match your gifts and passions, all while enjoying a burger in the sunshine. It's all happening after both services this Sunday, so bring your appetite for both burgers and volunteering. We'll see you there.
Wah, wah, wah. Come to the barbecue.
All right, so we got some questions for you.
Okay.
Wait, those weren't
the questions?
No, those were... Okay. We've got some prepared questions for you, not just fun things that come into Evan's head. We did have one question that came up last week when we were talking about spiritual warfare that...
I'm going to take a pass.
Yeah, we're going to hit that up the next time Andrew's here because it's very intense. So I'm going to give that one to him.
I prefer to talk about rest.
Yes. So why don't we dive in with the first question? What do you think our culture gets wrong about rest? And why do you think hustle is still so seductive to many of us?
So... That's an interesting question because I think in our culture, we believe that rest equals laziness. Hmm. And that's not what Jesus calls us to do at all, right? Because Jesus rested. And like I said, Sunday, he wasn't lazy and he didn't need a nap. Mm-hmm. He wanted this to be a rhythm in our lives. And our world celebrates productivity.
Yeah.
So we feel that if we stop, then we fall behind. Or even worse, if I stop, then I'm faced with my own thoughts and feelings and I have to act on that, right? And so we live in this world that if we're busier, we're doing better. Right. And so the answer often when we say, hey, how are you, is busy. And I'm not sure if that's because we don't want the person who asked us to ask us to do something.
Right.
Or
I can feel a request.
That's
coming
right. If I say I'm busy, then maybe you won't ask me to do X, Y, and Z. But it also is like a badge of honor, right? Mm. So if I say I'm busy, then I can be proud of myself. If I say, oh, you know what, I spent the morning like resting. You know, people might think, well, like, well, lucky her.
Right. I'd be like, wow, that's so nice for you.
That sounds,
I wish I could
do that. Yeah, that sounds nice for you. I had, you know, all these things to do. Whereas our answer shouldn't probably be, oh, so busy or oh, really busy. And like, yes, we do get busy in our lives, but that's, you know, like, it's just this, like, it's not spiritual to just be busy all the time and to try to keep up and to hustle through our daily lives.
Yeah. I think like rest is so counterculture to so many things. Like it's counterculture to speed, right? Of like, you should be moving fast and you should be getting things done quickly. It's counter to productivity.
Right.
It's counter to a culture that values excess, right? So it's like you should be doing more with your time to get more out of life or business or whatever, right? And how, yeah, that like when Jesus tells us to rest and when the Bible talks about a Sabbath, that really is like a countercultural act, right? That's a way of, because it would be funny, yeah, if you came up to me and said, like, oh, hey, how are you doing? And I'm like, oh, man, I've just been rest. I've had great rest.
I had a nap.
Like, I'm like, on the wrong day, certain people would probably punch me in the face if I said that to them, right?
Well, even practicing Sabbath. Like, I know people who practice Sabbath really well, right? Yeah. And they are not bothered on that day of Sabbath or that afternoon of Sabbath. And I think, like, well, lucky for them, I get called all the time. I work in crisis. I have, right? Like, yeah. I can't turn my phone off. But who am I to think that I'm better or bigger than Jesus?
Right. And I think it's true, too, like, when the second part of this question that, like, why do we think hustle is so seductive? It's like whatever culture values is going to look like something you want to achieve, right, at face value. So if it's like if culture values hustle and pushing forward and just like moving at a very fast pace and being and busyness, then that's what we're going to instinctively say, oh, that's what I want to do. Right.
Yeah.
And that, but like taking time to recognize why, like, what are the things inside of me that are pushing me towards that? Right. Like what am I actually chasing when I say yes to
and
that?
If I stop, what's there?
Right. Yeah. What am I trying to forget about? Right. Amidst my busyness.
We see that a lot in grief, right? Mm. Just keep busy. And the grieving process will catch up to you.
Yeah. Our second question says, how can we discern whether we're being actually resilient or if we're running on survival mode?
So I think that resiliency is healthy adaptation. So it is responding to life's challenges and knowing when we need support. I think that that's another issue or something the society tells us is that we can do it on our own, right? Is that we don't need that extra level of support. We often hustle to numb. And so this resiliency to change that and this survival mode, it actually is like pushing through and not asking for any help. And so it just breeds unhealthiness and toxicity in our own lives. Resiliency is the healthy adaptation to responding to life's challenges.
Yes.
I may have said unhealthy, but I meant healthy.
Our next question is more of a personal question. And it says, how do you practice rest in your own life? And what has been helpful for you in building a practice of Sabbath?
So I think looking at what fills your bucket is a really good place to start with how to determine what brings you rest. So early on in our marriage, I've shared this story before, but early on in our marriage, we determined that what fills our buckets, my husband and I, are very different. And so we have a swimming pool in our backyard, and nothing fills my bucket and actually brings me rest more than is to have lots of people, a barbecue, and have kids swimming and laughter and fun. And I can actually sit back and relax in a situation like that. Some people, that stresses people out, having people and having to host. I find it resting and relaxing. I can sit in the chair and I can watch what's happening around me, and I can just actually soak in God's goodness from that. And it fills me up.
Yeah.
My husband, on the other hand, is much more introverted than I am. And so he feels rest. Yeah, he feels rest when it's just our family in the backyard and it's quiet and it's peaceful and he can hear the birds. And, you know, like it's much more probably serene than what I would like. And so learning and leaning into, especially early in our marriage, that like we have to have balance.
Yeah.
Right. And so he did say to me, I don't know, we've probably been married like a year. He said, like, I won't be able to sustain having people swim in our backyard 7 days a week. And I was like, why? What do you mean?
Like, we're that sounds talking, like the best time ever.
Yeah, it does, right? Like, we're talking like, I'm like, well, these people are coming over at 1:00. And then when they leave, these other people are coming over at 5:00. And when they leave, like, I'm probably going to have the neighbors over. And he would just look at me like his eyes bugging out of his head and be like,
I can picture the life leaving his eyes as you're saying.
Yes. And I'm like, I don't get why this doesn't fill your bucket. Like, I don't get why this is like, we're friends, we're family, the music's going, we're swimming.
Get to see all the people that we love.
Right.
We
I'm like, what is, what is wrong with you? And so fast forward, having, you know, like kids now, and I have one kid who is filled, bucket filled by having all her friends over all the time. And I have another kid who can't do more than, typically doesn't like to do more than one event in one day because she gets so drained by having people around her, right? So I wonder who they took after. So I quickly established that what brings me rest is chaos. And it's funny, I work in crisis a lot of the time, and fastness. No, what brings me rest is people. And so when I said on Sunday that I find rest sitting in an aquatic center or watching my kid jump inanimate objects on a pony, and, you know, like she's really into rugby right now, which is terrifying as a parent, two terrifying sports. And because I'm surrounded by people that I like, right? Yeah. And we're chatting and, you know, like we usually have a good coffee or something. And so that actually is rest for me. And I shared about walking the kids to school and back, and just that is quiet rest of spending time with God, right? And so I do try to practice Sabbath on a Sunday. I am not great at it. To the point where when I told friends I was preaching on Sabbath and rest, they laughed and they said, what? And right, like you? And I was like, wait a minute, hear me out. Because what you think is rest and what I think is rest is two different things. Right? Fair. So, So you can say that about me because so our life is chaos.
We all need those kind of friends in our lives.
Yeah.
Being like, sorry, what?
Sorry, you're do-. And they were like, well, the Lord really picked that one for you. Or, you know, like, well, you know, there's a reason why you were asked to find scripture on rest. Read it.
Yeah, maybe take some, bro.
Yeah, take some.
Yeah, it's funny. It's too bad that Andrew couldn't be here because now we just have two deeply extroverted people talking about rest.
Yeah.
Like, for any of the introverts that are listening to this,
they probably turned me off already. Yeah. They're probably like, I can't listen to her talk about parties and chaos anymore.
Because I'm a similar way. Like, unless I'm physically tired or forcing myself to see the beauty in stillness, I'm like, put me with a group of people any night, I'm there, right? How has like boundaries played into this conversation with you, and like, what does it look like, or where's the need for like kind of protecting rest and protecting our like, I guess our calendars, or like, yeah, how much do like boundaries for your time and rest kind of go hand in hand with how busy people are these days?
So I'm going to do a really great Celebrate Recovery plug here, because it is built-in rest every single week for me.
Yeah.
Right? It is solitude. It is a place where I can feel during the day, and this isn't just me, I've heard this over and over again, I can feel during the day that CR is feeling like a task, right? Like, it is just feeling like one more thing on my to-do list that I need to like check off, right? Yeah. Like, I need to get there. I'm already feeling exhausted. I need to get there. And I can say this unequivocally, there is not one night I have left Celebrate Recovery without feeling rejuvenated, without feeling like I was given rest, without feeling like I came in feeling burdened and tired and alone, and I leave feeling loved and accepted and ready to face, right? And so this gift, honestly, it is a gift that our church gives us, right? Mm-hmm. And the fact that Bethany has made space for this for 20 years is just so beautiful.
Yeah.
And so for me, that is a protective, sacred space that I can look forward to and that many others look forward to every single week. And so I think creating boundaries, that is healthy for me, because I'm with like-minded folks who also have learned when to say no or when to have a sacred space or practice Sabbath probably likely better than I do, right? And so, no, they do practice Sabbath better than I do. And so it is this beautiful rhythm that is spiritual and prayer-filled and can be quiet. So even though I go in feeling exhausted and going in survival mode, I leave feeling resilient and rejuvenated.
Yeah. That's beautiful. Mm-hmm. It's also a great segue into our last question for today.
Church community.
Yeah. How can our church but church communities at large better support mental and emotional health, especially in ways that avoid spiritual bypassing?
Yeah. So I think about this because I think back on like the attending church unmasked. Right. And so you go into a Sunday and you act a certain way and you hear the message.
Mask as in the face we put on, not mask as in
COVID, not a COVID, not an N9 mask.
N95.
N95. See, I've forgotten. See, it's been 5 years.
It's happening. We're finally starting.
Yeah, we're starting to forget. A facade. Right. And so we can go in on Sunday with a facade. We can go in and say, I'm fine, or living the busy life. Right. Mm. And nobody really questions us deeper. But that's not actually what church is called to do. Right. Like, church should be a place for vulnerability and a place where we can go broken and unmasked and feel like we're going to be healed. I feel like when we attend big church on a Sunday, we are surrounded by, here at Bethany, a few hundred people on a Sunday, right? So it is really hard to unmask ourselves, not the COVID mask, but the actual facade of who we want to look like and who we want to be.
Yeah.
So at Bethany, we are given the opportunity to have home church and CR be a place of true vulnerability. Mm. So I find often that sometimes we feel that church and even like a Sunday church community is about celebration, right? We come in on Sunday and we're potentially excited to be there, and the message is uplifting, unless we're talking about spiritual warfare. And, you know, like, we leave feeling like, wow, that was a great message, Andrew. Thanks for the challenge. Yeah. And we kind of like leave it there, right? Yeah. It takes more than throughout the week to build that community. Mm. And so I feel like Sunday can be this great piece of celebration, but that's not all church should be. Church should be for vulnerability. Yeah. So at Bethany, we're offered things and programs throughout the week. You know, we have CR, we have youth, we have home church, family nights. There are things, other things that are going on where we can come unmasked.
Mm-hmm.
And so So the last part of your question, ask the last part again.
Oh, yeah. Better support mental and emotional health, especially in ways that avoid spiritual bypassing.
Right. So I think about terms such as God's got this, right? Or pray more and, you know, the Lord will deliver. And yes, I do actually believe those things because we put our hope in Jesus.
Yeah.
If not, this is all for naught. Like, right? Like, and even at Celebrate Recovery, like, we know our number one healer is Jesus. Right. However, statements like that can be very damaging.
Right.
And I think that we shouldn't use these to silence what is actually happening in our lives. We shouldn't use like God's got this to silence our grief or our trauma,
right?
We do actually have to work through those things, and it's okay to not be okay.
Yeah.
In a world that tells us that we're just fine.
Yeah. It's like, it's the two things can be true at the same time, right?
Yeah.
That like you can be going through a really tough thing and God can also still be really good. Right.
Absolutely.
You can be struggling super hard, or you can not know how something's going to finish in your life, and God can still be trustworthy and worth leaning into. Right. It's funny because I was just talking with the other Laura, doing some
the other Laura
sermon,
H.
The other Laura H, doing some sermon series brainstorming. And we actually talked about how fun it would be to do like a Christianese or like Christian phrases series where it's like the like Jeremiah 29:11s, the like, God will never give you more than you can handle, the like, God's got this ones, like those that like have truth in them, but are often used in horribly wrong ways that don't help.
like God has got this, no doubt. But you may also need medication and therapy and Celebrate Recovery. Right? Those are actually gifts from God, right?
We said that last week. I'm like, Jesus can be powerful and trustworthy, and you can also have a therapist.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
I mean, the analogy of like God sending the boat over and over and over again, right? And like, and the person saying, no thanks, like, I'm waiting for Jesus. I'm like, God's got this. And then they drowned. And then God says, and they say, like, you were supposed to save me. He's like, I sent you 6 boats.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you didn't get in. I sent you a great therapist. Like,
why didn't you call them back?
Why didn't you call them back? I gave you a church to celebrate recovery. Why didn't you go?
So, speaking of celebrate recovery and kind of the broader amazing work that you guys do on Thursday nights here, if somebody was considering kind of coming to a CR night or bringing their kids to Celebration Place on the Landing or Junior Landing, or just like has been looking at engaging with support and recovery on Thursdays, but kind of isn't sure about, is kind of worried about taking the plunge, what would you say to them?
I would say everybody feels that way. Mm. I would say that if you're sitting in your car in the parking lot and you're hesitant to come through the doors, you're not alone. Mm. Even I, as the director of Support and Recovery and Celebrate Recovery, felt nervous coming through the doors, right? So you're not alone. You will be greeted. We have a newcomers group, so it makes your first night very easy. All we ask for you to do on your first night at CR is listen. Mm-hmm. And you can share or not share as much as you want, right? So the pressure is actually totally off you.
Yeah.
With Junior Landing and Landing and Celebration Place, our Landing ministry is still going for another few weeks, but they're kind of coming to a close. Mm-hmm. Our kids' mental health ministries are done for the year. However, registration will be open in the middle of the summer for next year. They were wildly popular this year. It was amazing to see kids transformed. If you do have kids that are struggling with bullying, their own mental health, I am a parent. I shared on Sunday that I have PTSD. I had some anger issues. Mm-hmm. And so my kids have learned so much from Celebration Place about who they are, having a parent with a mental illness. We have lots of kids who come who are parents who are divorced. And what a healthy thing to give your kids that gift if you are struggling in your marriage. And so my advice is to try.
Yeah.
I often say, could you give us 3 weeks? If you can give us 3 weeks, the first week is going to feel a little overwhelming. You're going to get a lot of information. The second week, you're going to get to go to one of our open share groups, and you might not share that first week. So by the third week, you should probably know if Celebrate Recovery is a good thing for you.
Mm-hmm.
And also, if you have extra questions, you can reach out to me. I can be reached, you know, like we have a support and recovery section on our website, and my information is there.
Yeah.
You are welcome to reach out and get more information from me.
We'll drop the link in the description of this pod.
Yeah. Sure. And one of the questions I often get is, can I bring a friend? Sure. Bring a friend. Mm-mm. Always. No friends allowed.
No friends. Just you.
You have to only associate with people who are at CR. No, bring a friend. It does make it easier that first night. If you have a spouse or a partner or somebody you want to come with, that's fine. I think people will be shocked when they walk through the doors to see all the people that they already know.
Yeah.
Because it's a confidential program. We don't share that information.
Nope.
When people walk in, they're like, oh, I didn't know you'd be here. I didn't know you attend CR.
Yeah.
And so that's always pretty cool and eases people's tension right off the bat.
Yeah. I think that's probably a great place to end. Give it a try. When you
give
think it about
a try.
It, that's like 3 weeks. That's probably like 3 hours.
Yeah.
That you'll spend with CR, and 3 hours as opposed to the amount of time that you'll spend kind of working through and experience some of the benefit of healing.
CR's changed my life.
Definitely worth it.
It's changed my life. It's changed who I am as a spouse. It's changed who I am as a partner. It's changed our marriage. I think it's just a gift. I see the gift in my kids' lives. I see how they interact with kids at school. I see that at 10 and 12, they understand grace and forgiveness better than some adults do. Give your kids that gift.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Give it a try. That's a wrap for today's episode. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. We love having these conversations, but they're even better when you're a part of them. So if you've got questions, thoughts, or topics that you'd love to hear about, shoot us a text at 905-937-5300. We'd love to hear from you. And if we don't answer it, it's because Andrew isn't here and he knows the Bible better than us.
And I don't want to answer a question on spiritual warfare.
Yeah, those are scary. But
you have to leave that in.
Before you go, don't forget to subscribe to the BCC Pod so you never miss an episode. And if you're enjoying the podcast, do us a favor and leave a quick rating or review. It's a simple way to help others find us and to be encouraged as well. Thanks for sitting down with me, Laura, and chatting. It was great to have you back on the pod. Who knows? Maybe less time will elapse between podcasts. You're going to become our main speaker now, right?
That is not my job.
As a function of boundaries to take care rest, no. You're saying no.
I can say no without reason.
Thanks for hanging out with us. We will see you all on Sunday and back here next week. See ya.